It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Las Blancas podcast. I'm your host Yash Thakur, and we are back after a little enforced break, sort of, because we haven't put out the pod for two games now, which one was a Copa de la Reina game against Atletico Madrid. For the uninitiated, we are out of Copa de la Reina. We are recording this pod after the Real Betis game. And to make up for the games that we have failed to cover in a pod, what we are going to do is we are going to cover both Valencia and Betis game together, because it's a game against two of the bottom four sides in the league, and the results were similar in terms of score line. The talking points from both the games appear to be following a general theme. So, you know, and they are two big wins. So we can discuss the good parts together and basically club the league performance together. And we will record another pod, which will be covering the game against Atletico Madrid, because we have another game coming up against them in the league this time. And yeah, like we have mentioned before, every game from now on is important in our hunt to be in the second place, to secure that Champions League qualification spot. So that is what we are going to do. And to do all of that, I've once again got Kanita with me. Kanita, how are you doing after that break and those games basically?
Well, I mean, these two we're talking about in this episode, very, very excited, you know. We did score a lot of goals and yeah, exciting stuff. I mean, zero clean sheets out of the two, you know. We're just allergic to clean sheets, I guess. That's nothing new though. But yeah, still a lot of goals scored, fun ones, you know. The team had fun in those games, and we had fun watching them, and yeah, so fun stuff. It's a little bit, you know, to make a good sandwich, you know. It's like these two games are like making that bad, you know, loss against Atletico, like, you know, sandwich. So yeah, you know, it's like a refresh, and yeah, depends on how you want to look at it, but I like to look at it like a good sandwich, you know. So yeah, there's that. So yeah, in this pod we're gonna talk about those, you know, two pieces of bread in a sandwich. So yeah, I mean, this part of the bread is amazing, fun, very fun to talk about. So yeah, very excited.
Wow, what an analogy. I wasn't expecting you to compare this set of fixtures with a sandwich, but hey, that was fun. Yeah, so let's begin with, obviously those two were very big wins. We won against Valencia 7-1, then we won against Real Betis 4-1. So, 11 goals in two games after, having struggling to score against Haken, we did not score, and like having a really poor showing in terms of in front of goal. So this sort of boosts our underlying metrics and the numbers a bit, because we just increased our goal scored tally by 11 in the span of two games. But there's also this context that we were playing against two of the bottom four sides in the league. We were playing against Real Betis, who are technically our favorite opponent in the league. We love to score many goals against them, and we have always done that. So this one was no different. Although I was watching the game, and first 45 happened in this game, and it was still nil-nil, and I was like, man, if we are not going to score against Real Betis as well now, then I don't know. But yeah, we came back and in the second half, and we scored four. But the general theme of these two games was, number one was the return of certain players. So let's talk about the return of some of the players, and then we'll talk about the key performers across these two games. And obviously, we will also touch upon some defensive issues. I mean, once again, like you're facing two of the bottom four sides in the league, and yet in games where you have managed to score 12, like 11 goals in two games and still like no clean sheet, wherein you are expected to dominate and you're expected to dominate from the back to the front. So that did not happen. Once again, we were left vulnerable, because even in the Betis game, Betis had some chances. Valencia game, they started off well, they waned off, but still, like, they had opportunities and they made one of them count. So let's start by talking about the returning players. So Senia Brun was back in the fold, back in the mix earlier as well. Like, she was included on the bench. She came on for a few minutes, but now she was back in the goals in these two games. In these two games, she returned into that goal scoring form that, she was in. She's our top goal scorer in the league with 8 goals, along with now Caroline Moller as well. But back in the starting lineup, back in the fold, and 2 goals and an assist in these two games. It's very important, and we discussed this, how, Brune's return is going to help us. But we are clearly seeing that on the pitch as well, Kanita. Don't you agree? And what do you think about this whole thing, where Brune has come back, Moller is in good form, and in the Betis game, we saw this very unique thing, and I think a very successful experiment of Brune and Moller playing together. So I would like to get your thoughts on, Brune's return, first of all, and then your thoughts on this idea of playing Brune and Moller together, because I think that really, really worked.
Yeah, that was really fun. I mean, when he first got Bruin, and when we had that episode about, reviewing our new signings and everything, and I mentioned, like, I don't know how these two will work, and then, until Bruin's injury, Moller was nowhere to be found, and then Moller was playing the whole time while Bruin was away, and now, luckily, we're not back to the starting point with, Brune being back and, just benching Moller once again for no reason, because, she needed a few games, to, I guess, find her groove. I mean, she started scoring immediately when she gone, but, like, the gameplay wise, connecting with the team. So yeah, it's like you said, she's getting in form, and she's now I mean, she's on fire now. Brune getting back, and after getting some minutes, and now she started scoring again. I mean, she started in both games, in Valencia against Valencia and Betis. And that's amazing to see, because I mentioned that the first game back against Haken, I did mention that one moment where Brun got a little bit too frustrated with one of the misses that wasn't even close. So I was a little bit worried about that, like, mental aspect, after that head injury that kept her away for like 2 months. So yeah, but the next very next game, she, scored, and yeah, I mean, we got Brun back, and she's getting back into her groove. She scored 2 goals so far, back. So yeah, and the assist, of course, we can't forget the assist. We will get to that. But yeah, and we got to see those two operating, Brun and Moller, which is very exciting, very exciting. As you said, Moller in form, and Brun back, getting her groove, which seems to be going smoothly, thankfully. Yeah, they understand each other very well. We got our actual, Danish duo, in attack, and we've actually, those two have been holding us together this whole season, but until now it was separately, and now we got the duo, as a duo. So yeah, I mean, how can I not be excited about that? It just seems like they understand each other, and I don't just mean with their mother tongue. I mean, on the pitch as well. That's amazing. That's great to see, honestly. And I know I mentioned that, in some aspects, Moller is better, and Brun is better in others. So I think this is perfect, because I feel like Moller is much better with her feet, and and Brun is like much more precise, like aerially. So yeah, like, we got the combo of the two, and I'm happy this this can be seen, and it's actually coming to light. And yeah, man, I'm really excited. I don't know what else to say. I'm happy that we got some sort of combination this team going on. Usually, any combination we have of, like, two or three players that work well together, he just buries that, Tuttle just buries that. And I just hope this goes on, and of course, depending on their form as well. But for now, I'm not worried about them. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, for now, excited, of course. Let's not talk about the, possibilities of the future, and possibilities of what the coach could decide in the future. So yeah, excitement. Yeah.
I think my biggest concern with Brun's return was that Moller, who had been in, stupendous form since December, like she was scoring all of our crucial goals. She was scoring the winner. She was scoring the equalizer. She was scoring the only goal in games that we lost. I was afraid that that would result, Brun's return would make Moller go back to the bench and not see many minutes on the pitch again, because that has happened, right? Like when Brun was there, Moller was not really playing. Like it was first choice was Brun, and you don't have to second guess it. And that happened last season as well, because Esther was there, and there was no space for Moller until April came about, and that whole contract situation happened and everything. But now I think this is the best Moller that we have seen ever since she signed for us. I think it's pretty fair to say that, because not just in terms of her output, but in terms of her synergies with the other players. And it's good that you bring up that, these are both Danish players, so obviously they do understand that, they have that understanding of speaking the same language and everything. But also I feel the reason that this is working so well, or at least in the games that we have seen so far, maybe a small sample size, but I think the reason that this is working so well is it puts Moller into her comfort zone, which is her playing with the back to goal. Even in Valencia game, like it was Linda and Muller, and we have seen that and we have spoken about this, how, you know, despite Muller somehow start or being positioned up top, she's the one dropping deep, she's the one doing the back to goal play and bringing others into the gameplay. In here as well, playing right behind the striker, and this has been discussed and spoken about multiple times. I remember, like, in my first post when we signed Muller as well, I highlighted that this is her key strength, this is all her game is based around. Now we are finally understanding and utilizing that, like, Muller is not really a winger, Muller is not really an out and out striker, and that is the two position that she was used in the most. She is at her best when she's playing along with another striker and right behind that striker, and that is what is happening now. Maybe this change only came about because of Brune's injury, but it has been a very welcome change because it has benefited Muller a lot, and in turn it has benefited us a lot. I think that is the biggest reason why this is working, because I don't know if this is by design, by choice, or, you know, by luck, but somehow Muller has fallen into that perfect position for her that she should always play in. Like, that is the position she should be playing in. Now obviously, when Weir comes back, that raises another question, because this position does not exist anymore. Weir is back, Weir is going to play, like, straight up. There is no debate about that. And we will see what happens then, but that is the thing, that is the position that Muller should be playing in along with another striker, because that brings out the best in her, and in turn it brings out the best in players around her. Because if you look at, let's talk about the Betis game in specific, because that's the most recent game. In that Betis game, if you look at our first goal, it has both Brune and Muller involved. Brune assists Muller with a great cross. But before that cross, the pass, the initial pass played to Brune, or to, you know, set up Brune to put in that cross or to let Brune through at the back, was played by Muller herself. Muller plays that pass, goes around the entire back line to attack the far post and meet that cross. This is what she's good at. She is good at those activities right outside the edge of the penalty area. She'll do that, and then what makes her unique or what makes her effective is she knows how to follow it up with the movements in the next move. So when she played that pass to Brune, the only option she had was to cross, right? Like, after going there, either it was a cutback or a cross. Now, she anticipated that it would be a cross to the far post. If you look at that run, it's a really good run. She goes around all the defenders, reaches the far post, and slots it in, like, unmarked, because, you know, nobody is able to track all that run right from the edge of the box to the far post, right? And that too, like, around the defenders. So it's a brilliant move, and that is something like Muller excels at. And I think somehow by magic, she is in the perfect position that she should be playing in. And we are seeing the results, a hat trick in Valencia game, another goal here. So, you know, she is definitely involved, and it's great. It's great for the team. And I think it should continue till the end of the season. Like, this combination has to continue, because I would love to see how they develop more and how threatening they become, because, as you mentioned as well, that point is also important, because with Brune you have that aerial threat. Muller is also decent in the air, so, you know, even if Brune goes outside or Muller goes on the outside to put the ball in, you still maintain one of the threats, one of the aerial threats in the middle. Because otherwise, if let's say it's just Muller up top or just Brune up top, and if suppose they manage to get out wide to receive the ball and build up play, we absolutely lose any aerial target in the middle. Then it would have to be Toletti rushing in to try to get the head to the ball. But otherwise, like, Atenea is not great in the air. Feller is not that great in the air. Linda Caicedo is not that great in the air. So, you know, this combination of Moller and Brun allows us to maintain that aerial threat all throughout the move. And that is amazing because it gives us a different dimension in attack. So, yeah, I think it is a great change. And I'm a big fan of it. I would like for this to continue. So, yeah, that is probably it about this change. Another return in the side was of a center back. Like, we have been shorthanded at center back. Let's just say that, because with Rocio's injury, Rocio's unavailability, we were forced to play all the games with Ivana and Sousa. Even if we wanted to, we could not make a change because there was nobody to make the change with. And we even went out to sign a defender in the January transfer market. And, you know, we'll see how that goes on with the player that we have signed. But now Rocio is back. And in the Betis game, she was back. I feel like she was decent in the game. What were your thoughts on Rocio's return and her performance against Betis, and also like her return in general, how that would impact the rest of our season going forward?
Yeah, I mean, about her game, I didn't really notice anything. I mean, I was trying to get notes on Rocio, but in the end I didn't. You know, it's Betis. I don't know, man. I mean, still conceded against them somehow, but you know, it's Betis. So, yeah. But so here's the thing. I am glad Rocio is back. Do you know why? I'm sure everyone knows why. I feel like everyone has the same, you know, thoughts. It's just that Kathleen is too chaotic. You know, Rocio, when she runs up against Betis, right? I noticed her going up, you know, and like going through the midfield and just passing to someone, you know, more up and, you know, just getting back. But she's not as reckless. You know, and it's against Betis. She's not doing that, you know, that randomly. So I feel like I have a little bit more security, you know, like we have a little bit more security with Rocio, especially because Rocio also does tackles, and I don't remember Kathleen doing tackles. So yeah, like actually tackling. So. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have more comments on Rocio in the game where she plays, you know, against not Betis. you know, I don't know how else to describe just against not Betis, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. She was out for a long time. I mean, she played one game. I think she played against Betis. Yeah, she played against Betis in Copa, like 10 minutes. And then she got injured again, like something happened, some problems with meniscus. And we actually got information from Marca that it could be a longer injury. But, you know, she was out for like, what, 3 more weeks after that article. So now she's back. I mean, I'm glad that article was wrong, obviously. So, yeah. But it is a fact that she's had these injury problems for, I don't even remember how long, like 3 months. I can't even count anymore. It's all been so chaotic. But yeah, I can't really say anything about her form. Like, how is it for her going back? You know, and she played the full game. And yeah, I can't really say anything because, you know, it's Betis. And yeah. But yeah, I'm glad we have Rocio back. I'm obviously we've been without center back for a long time, without an option. You know, if one of the two, if Kathleen or Ivana needed a sub, there was no one to, you know, there. So yeah, except, you know, did he could change like the formation to free at the back somehow, be somehow creative or something. But thankfully, that thing didn't happen. So yeah, we didn't have to know. We didn't have to find out. So yeah, but it was really dumb. You know, we said in the beginning, like, of the season, like, it was dumb not signing a center back even back then, and we lost Rocio for like 3 months. And yeah, but now she's back. Now she's back, and I hope she's gonna thrive soon. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel my after seeing that Betis game and everything, like I know it's just Betis, and you know even in that game there were some flaws, like the goal conceded, it should not do well on transition, but you know she's just coming back from an injury. But I feel the best part about Rocio's return is the depth. Like now you can actually decide based on merit. Or, you know, you can decide to rest one of your preferred center backs in some games because anyway, like now we are out of all competitions. We won't be playing any more midweek games beyond this. Like the next game against Atleti is our last midweek game for the rest of the season. So that eases things a bit. We will have players fresh and ready to play at the weekend after a week's rest. Just one game a week is it's manageable. So you know maybe it's not the busiest period for us, but it's still nice to have some depth finally in a position that you know we have not been great at. We have struggled this season with our center back partnership, and I hope like this Rocio's return actually helps us, you know, sort of overcome that and sort of be good, or at least try to be good at defending. Not so great against against Betis, but yeah, still like it adds valuable depth to the squad, which is very, very important in my opinion. Now, since these two returns are back, and we have also discussed about you know Brune's return and Muller's combination with Brune, I think some other performances that were, you know, really noteworthy is Athenea's performance. You know, two goals and an assist in those two games. A brace against Betis. Second goal against Betis was quite good. Really good finish. So, and I mean Athenea is currently our leading goal contributor in the league with 12 goals plus assists. Like she has 7 goals and she has 5 assists. So, you know, it's pretty good season that she's having. But you know, I feel like that whole season thing is a bit skewed because she has performed in patches every time. But pretty good performances in these two games. What did you make of her performance? Because you know, obviously she got in the goal, she was in the mix, but overall, general, what were your thoughts on Athenea's performance in these two games?
You know, I'm trying to find the words. Yeah, so let's say it's like this. Yeah, she was good individually. Otherwise, not so much. Even in these two games, and even against Betis, in which she scored two goals, you know, whenever she had a chance to shoot, like she had a chance later on to for a hat trick as well. And it was saved, or it was just wide. I can't remember now, but yeah, it was very close. So yeah, whenever it comes to like her occasions on goal, she does really well, you know. But the thing is that lately, and this has been a subject in the fan base as well, that she hasn't been doing her dribbling, you know. She hasn't been Regatenea And you know, I don't know. For that reason, I feel like the ball, when she has the ball and when she wants to get rid of it, you know, just pass it, just she just decides to get rid of it, you know, and decides to do the most random pass, even when she's just about to enter the box or just at the entrance of the box, like even when she has like two defenders in front of her, she just does the most random thing and shoots directly at their feet, trying to pass to a teammate that is not nowhere, you know, there where she was intending to do so. And she was doing that in these two games, especially in the Betis game, which is it's fresher in, you know, everyone's minds and obviously in mine. So the whole game is those random things, you know, at least when she was dribbling, she would be passing through some of the defense, you know, and sure, the pass might not succeed, but it would go somewhere. It wouldn't go directly to someone's legs, you know, right in front of her. I feel like I don't know what's happening there, you know. Like lately, she hasn't been doing that. She's been doing these random thingies with just shooting at people's legs, and I don't know why. So yeah, that's why I whenever it comes to, you know, passing or like I don't know, just like acting in a in an action. Yeah, I don't know, you know. She did get some assists as well lately, and these are from crosses. So yeah, more like. She maybe assists one, and I don't know, 90 passes, just these are random things I just mentioned. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's very random with Atenea, what she does, you know, she can score a brace and then she can do the most random things during the game. And I don't know, so yeah, like as you said, like season wise, it has been very chaotic, you know, when you see the actual games and how her form has been, and it's been like in and out, you know, depending on the games, and just like disappearing and then coming back, shining in one game and disappearing in another yet again. And yeah, I don't know anymore. But I don't know what's happening with the Regatta disappearing. Honestly, that was very entertaining to watch, even though the things that she would do later, like when she misplaces a pass, you know, it's a bit pr frustrating, but you know, at least she would pass through the defense and you know, do that. That was entertaining to watch. I mean, I know everyone would say, oh, wow, that's great, and then you know, sure, misplaced pass, ah, shucks. Too bad, but this way you're just frustrated, you know. When she gets the ball, she tries to shoot at someone's legs, and you know that's the end of the action, and that's it, you know. So yeah, I guess it's just frustrating. I don't know. She's probably frustrated as well. I did. All I'm saying is just I'd like her to become Ragettonia again. Yeah. I feel like this way she's more frustrated as well. So I don't know. I don't know what happened with the Regatenea. I don't know if you have anything to add on that Regatenea disappearing. So yeah, I mean you must have noticed, right? So yeah.
Yeah, I feel with Atenea, like it's not just like in between games, but during a game as well. I think her biggest issue is she cannot sustain a certain level throughout the 90 minutes, and I think that has been the issue since the start. Now, the point that you make about, you know, that exciting Atenea sort of disappearing from the fold, or you know, not being seen as often as before, and I think I agree with that. I think her overall development since she has joined us has not been the best. Like by now, I given that this is she has spent significant time with us now. She was there when Aslani was there. She was there with Weir. Now she's, you know, she is one of the pillars of the side now herself. I think she should be at a much higher level. And you know, this thing about her not being able to sustain that level between games and during a game should not be the case anymore, because you know, as time goes by, we have to realize that we are no longer dealing, we won't anymore be dealing with, you know, an under 23 player. Next season she'll be 24, you know, and this is the time that she should be consistently deciding games on her own, which we haven't seen much of. Now obviously not every, like, player development is a very tricky thing. It's not a straight line, it's not always upside, it's not always like pointing up. Sometimes it's like a path with a lot of ups and downs, and maybe this is just that. And maybe in the grand scheme of things, she will she has improved, but you know, she'll come good at the end over a longer period of time. But I feel like from what she was when she joined us, from that Depor side, an exciting electric winger, it has not really been that with us. And I think part of that is also us not properly using her, you know, sometimes playing her through the middle despite like starting her out wide, playing her on the right, playing her on the left, you know, not being able to decide which side she should be sticking on to. There's multiple reasons to it. But yeah, definitely I feel like Athenea's development has not gone to plan the way it should have. She'll come good. She's really talented. We all know that. We all saw that way before. And she can be decisive. It's just that she needs to be producing that at a very consistent level that we haven't seen yet. Maybe it will come with time. Maybe it won't, because, you know, there are really, really exciting players who just never get that sort of level of output that puts you in that elite category. And maybe it will be that. We'll have to just wait and watch. But at the moment, I feel like, you know, her development could have gone better. A lot is to blame on us for not being able to use her properly, from not being able to give her the freedom to express herself in ways that she did at Depor and bring that best part of her out. But yeah, I mean, this is the situation that we are in. In these two games in particular, I feel like she was good. Once again, like, not from minute 1 to minute 90, you know, in games, but whenever she stepped up, she was in those moments, she was brilliant. She did have a tangible difference on both the games, picked up 2 goals, picked up an assist as well. So, you know, really good games for her to, you know, get that sort of momentum going and get back into the goal scoring groove once again and help the team. So yeah, pretty happy with these two games, but overall would like to again see more. The thing is, like, you expect more from players you know can deliver, right? Like, that is how I believe. Like, I wouldn't be saying this if I did not expect a higher level from Athenea, because I expected her to be one of the world's best wingers when we signed her from Depor. And it hasn't gone to plan yet, but you know, sometimes things take time. So I'm hopeful, but let's see. Like, it all comes down to her application and our usage of her. So I'm not confident on either of the things at the moment, so let's see how it goes. But yeah, hopefully she can continue to get more goals and assists, because that will breed confidence and that will reflect in her game, and that is what you want. And I feel like in the end, and I know you said that, you know, I can have my space to talk about Toletti myself, but I will definitely like take this moment to talk about her performances in these two games because she picked up two assists in these two games, and I feel like she has been a consistent performer as well. And despite not always being in the goals or being on the score sheet, which is not her role as well, and I think everyone understands that, she has consistently, despite that, she has consistently managed to produce moments that decide or moments that break down the opposition defense. In this game, in Betis game, the most recent one, she assisted Brun's goal by playing a very good flick over the top. Brun just touched it, and that was, goalkeeper was left stranded, and that was a goal. And I think it's inventive moments like these that make her a difference maker, but also the sort of balance that she brings, because against Betis, she partnered up with Maite and produced a very solid performance. Against Valencia, she partnered up with Tere and produced a very solid performance. And that is the thing, like, this is a player that can play according to whatever is around her and still deliver the goods that she normally does. And I think that is brilliant. I think that is a hallmark of a very, very good player. And Toletti, as soon as she returned, it just never looked like she missed any sort of team training or team session. Like, she settled right in. She combines with everyone. She helps in all phases, be it defensive, be it ball progression, or be it chance creation. And I think that is the best part. Like, she is a proper all-rounder in the ranks, and that is great because you can pair her up with anybody. You can play different configurations of midfield, and she enables that basically. And players like these chameleon type who can adapt to their surroundings, I think are really vital for squad building, and Toletti is one of the best at it. So I'm pretty happy with the way she has been performing for Real Madrid ever since she joined us basically. And yeah, let's see how it continues and how it goes for the rest of the season. So, two big score lines, 7 goals in one, 4 goals in the other. But despite that, the common theme in both the games was that we still managed to concede one in both the games, and there was no clean sheet. Now, Kanita, we have spoken about our defensive issues multiple times. Like, we have been vocal about how we have no defensive structure, how we struggle at defending set pieces, transitions, and that is what we saw. Like, against Betis, the goal was a pure mess in transition defending, right? Like, the ball gets turned over in Betis's half, and then this after that turnover, they move the ball quickly upfields, and Rocio is caught stranded because you have your fullback pushed up and there is no cover there, and it's three against I think it was a 3-against-3 situation sort of, and Rocio gets caught with a lot of space behind her, and they managed to exploit it and score. Against Valencia, well, against Valencia, I feel like it was more to do with the spectacular finish rather than it being a very well-worked move. But still, like, I feel in that game as well, we did concede chances. In Betis game as well, in the first half or in the second half, if you see, Betis did have some good chances, So it's not like they were slouches or we completely dominated. They did manage to get a couple of crosses in. They did manage to put the ball in the dangerous area to, generate that sort of threat. And they did that. They did that, and Ana Marcos, as always, this girl just loves scoring against us. Like I don't know what she has against us, but once again, like a brilliant finish in the, in that Valencia game. But yeah, what do you have any new comments about our defensive failures that just keeps happening every single time? Like it's been what, it's been now what, how many games since we kept a clean sheet? Okay, we had a clean sheet against Athletic Club, so it's not been that many games, but if you stretch beyond that, we haven't had many clean sheet. Like that Athletic Club game was one of the clean sheets that we had. Then I think it was Levante Las Planas that we had a clean sheet. And then I think before that it was just Eibar that we had a clean sheet against. And that is that. Like we just struggle to keep the ball out of our own net. And that is less than ideal when you're trying to somehow maintain that top spot, maintain that, you know, top among the rest, except for Barcelona, and try to fight for the those spots, because when you're that leaky at the back, there will come a side that will slot away every single chance that they are getting, and when that happens, you are going to look like a fool, and that is what is happening, I think. What do you think? Like, do you have any new comments or any new observations from our defensive failures in these two games? Because the sort of goals that we conceded in both these games were quite different, but also they highlighted a couple of, you know, weaknesses that we have been very vocal about in the past as well. So what have your thoughts changed, or what, how do you feel about our defense at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, in both games we, in both goals of the two games, we seen a pattern which we've been seeing this whole season basically. Like this Betis game, it was as you mentioned, Roussillon not tracking back well, and we know we have problems with pace, and Roussillon has problems with pace there as well. Like. Yeah, I mean, I think in the last like line of defense it was her, and then Sornosa was right behind her, so yeah, there was basically no one there. And yeah, we tend to leave just the backside completely open, and we are forced to track back and ultimately fail a lot of times when we literally have no one there, So yeah, I guess we're just reliant on that. Misa could run up a lot, and which she does when she can, get to it. But in this case, yeah, it was it would be stupid for her to come out, and the defense had to track back. So yeah, that's one of those cases where we're not well. We can see that we're not good in tracking back. That's what I want to say. And well, to go against like Anita Marco scoring against us. I mean, yeah, that's the marking thing. Like the whenever there's like whenever we have to mark one specific player inside the box, somehow we fail at that, because Ivana was directly marking Anita Marcos. Okay, like she was directly there, like right there in front of Ivana, just right there. And yeah, Anita actually did a great bicycle kick there. Okay, I can't even be mad about that one. Okay, it was a fantastic goal. I can't even, yeah, but yeah, the marking thing is a problem and frustrating, and I don't know, and it doesn't really go just individually, like just oh, just Ivana is bad at covering a player, or just Rocio is bad at pace. No, it's just common thing, it's maybe contagious, I don't know, man. But also you missed one clean sheet. It was in Copa del Reina, 5-0 against Betis. So, yeah, that was the one before, like after Levante Las Planas and before Athletic Club. So that was one more. And the whole season, we've had in total of 6 clean sheets. So yeah, I actually counted them while I was watching this Betis game, and I was just you know, curious to see. Yeah, obviously I went to see the number of clean sheets just after we conceded. I was curious, and it was 6 in during the whole season. So we've had like what, 17 or 16 games in the league, 8 games in the Champions League, and then we had two cup, yeah, two in the cup and one in the Super Cup. So you know, out of all those games, only 6 clean sheets, and you know, one of them was, like you said, Eibar. One was Levante Las Planas. One was Betis, our favorite opponent, basically. So yeah, some of them were pretty hard. Some of them weren't, like Villarreal and Athletic games were pretty hard to keep. But yeah, there's that. 6 clean sheets in total. Not happy. I think we're allergic to these clean sheets. And yeah, I won't be any longer. I don't know how else to describe it. Just allergic to clean sheets. And I think this is our like main characteristic this season. So yeah, great description of the team, honestly.
And somehow, despite all that defensive problems, we sit second in the league. And it's very funny to look at the league table and you look at the offense, and it's like, you know, Barcelona, who have scored 72 goals in 16 games, like the freak that they are. And then there's us, 46 goals in 16 games. That's not too bad at all. Like, you know, 46 goals from 16 games, like that's almost 3 goals per game. But again, you have to add context that we have scored 11 in the last 2 games. So it was 35 in 11 before that, in 14 games before that. So, you know, still not that bad. But also, like, these have been boosted massively by these 2 games. And the good thing that happened over the weekend was that Madrid CFF and Atletico Madrid played a scoring draw. And that is the thing, like, somehow these results always fall in our favor. And despite having like the 4th best defense in the league, you know, there's Barcelona with 3 goals conceded, then there's Levante with just 8 goals conceded, there's Atletico Madrid with 12 goals conceded, and then there's us with 20 goals conceded. And you know, it's very weird to watch, because Athletic Club, who are currently in the 8th position, have conceded 23 goals. And that is the thing. We are scoring big. We are also conceding a lot. We are not really that solid in defense, but somehow we are still in second place, because the other teams just keep throwing games away. And that is very funny to me, honestly, because you know, if you look at the last 5 games, we have won all of our last 5 games in the league. Levante have 1 draw. Atletico Madrid, who at a point looked like, you know, they will challenge, they will come for that second spot and they will keep the pressure up on us, they have just 1 win in the last 5. They have 3 draws and 1 losses in the last 5. And that is the thing, like, this keeps happening. A Madrid CFF, who started off really brilliantly, who play this explosive brand of football, 1 win in the last 5. And that is what happens. Like, somehow these teams just keep fumbling the bag, and we don't perform really, really well sometimes, but maybe it's not even needed because the teams just keep throwing it away. So, you know, I'm not complaining. I'll take that. I'll take the second spot, however it comes. But yeah, that is the situation. That these teams just don't want to finish second. I don't know. But yeah, I think that probably like concludes a sort of a discussion. Like this was a more of a general theme discussion about some of the major themes that have emerged in these two games. And I think the biggest theme was the Brune and Muller partnership, because I think we will be seeing more of that throughout the season, or at least that is what I hope. And also the return of Muller, and there are some key performers who are now emerging and being consistent, like Toletti. Oihane has been good every time that she has played. So, it's nice to see that there is at least a couple of foundation figures sort of appearing around whom the team can be built. So yeah, let's see how the rest of the season goes. Kanita, do you have anything to add apart from this? Any comments on the league situation? We are second, and comments on the other teams. If you don't, we can wrap this up.
You know, guys, this is Justin, the team that scores more goals, wins the game. When people say, offense is our best defense, I think we took it a little bit, too seriously, because just like you said, we concede a ton of goals. And most of them are for no reason at all. But we score a lot, like we're the second top scoring team. So yeah, there's that. And yeah, of course the fumbling games thing in the league, pretty interesting thing to see. I won't comment any further, but yeah. The team who scores more goals in a game wins the game. Yeah, sometimes it's frustrating, not gonna lie. Sometimes we play the most bizarre piece of footballing experience ever seen, and somehow we win those games. So yeah, I guess this is Liga F for you guys. So yeah, never a boring in it. Depending on how you look at it, I'm never bored in Liga F, honestly. So yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. Fun times.
Yeah, they say attack wins you games and defense wins you titles. And I think that applies to us. We win games, but we don't win, or we haven't won titles. So yeah, let's hope that gets fixed in next season, because this season we don't have any opportunity for any trophies. So Atletico Madrid once again broke our hearts in the Copa de la Reina, and we will be facing up against them in the league as well. So, that is there. Hopefully, we get a revenge. I don't know if it would be a revenge, because they've basically bested us for a trophy that we could have had a chance at. Not a chance at, but at least we could have tried to make a deep run in it. Let's see what the future holds. We can only hope for the best. And yeah, that is it. That probably concludes the discussion about these two games. We'll be bringing you another pod where we discuss the two derbies. And yeah, until next time, Ala Madrid.
Hola, Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.